I think it ruined many days.
Yes.
You know who's having a little chat here? This is William Wingram. Winram, the Canadian-born, breath-holding, world record holder and shark ambassador. That's you.
Yes.
Well, I know plenty of people have just choked on their cornflakes then and there, because that's a fascinating way to spend your life, William.
Yes. It's very entertaining.
It's 20 minutes to 7 o'clock. William is here because he stars in a new film called Great White Shark 3D, and it's all about my understanding is that you want to redress the bad reputation the shark has in this world.
Yes, and give them an honest representation. They've been maligned for decades, and you know what you see in films like Jaws is not what they're like. Obviously, otherwise we couldn't do what we do.
So you think that maybe the shark has become known as kind of like the terrorist on the bus in the ocean? That's how we see the shark. When in actual fact, they play a serviceable role.
They play a very important role. You know, any apex predator in an ecosystem is responsible for keeping it in balance, keeping it functioning. So they're extremely important. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is that we're constantly trying to attach our human fears or emotions to animals, whether they're positive or negative. But, you know, one of the things that I think is most crucial, especially in a place like Australia, which is known worldwide for, you know, the Great Barrier Reef, your diving, safaris, all of these kinds of things, is to protect your environment. And culling sharks is not gonna result in anything positive, which is there seems to be a significant amount of talk about that.
What is it that brings sharks close to shores and, you know, invites them to bite people?
Well, several things, depending on the species. But they're constantly cruising and patrolling. But, you know, the interesting thing, for example, in South Africa, they use nets on the Durban coastline that are supposed to protect beachgoers, swimmers, etc. Oftentimes, they find dead tiger sharks on the inside of the net because the net doesn't go all the way to the bottom. And the animal has swum in under the net. It's perused the shallows, swum by beachgoers, and tried to leave peacefully and gotten trapped in the net and died. So, you know, if you're recreating near a river mouth in an area that tends to have bull sharks, you're going to have more bull sharks in that area, because they generally seek out fresh water. If you have seal colonies, you're going to have more sharks in the area because that's what, you know, they're going to be hunting for. But the other challenge that we have as swimmers or as surfers is that we don't have eyes in the water, particularly surfers. As a freediver, and I'm also a surfer, when I'm freediving or surfing, I will make sure that I educate myself about the area that I'm going to be doing the activity, so I know what species of sharks are around. I know if there's a seal rookery in the area. And when I'm in the water, I'm constantly keeping an eye out, looking for a shark, because I know they're not going to come straight on. They're going to come from behind me because they want an advantage. They're curious. They don't want to get hurt, but they want to be able to approach me as close as possible without me knowing. So the moment I turn and make eye contact, I take their advantage away. And that's one of the things that we talk about in the film.
So you're sort of applying a consumer concept to ocean swimming, which is let the swimmer beware.
Yes, absolutely. It's not like sharks are attacking us in our homes. We're in their home. And I think it would be economically and environmentally foolish to kill sharks off just so we can play in the sea.
How come you've got this love affair with sharks? I mean, there are a couple of really interesting strands in terms of what you do. Firstly, how does one become a breath-holding champion? And more importantly, why?
Well, my father started me.
Holding your breath?
Yeah, when I was probably 2 years old. He was a search and rescue diver for the Coast Guard and an instructor. And the deal was, if we behaved ourselves, Dad would let us hold onto his neck and he would swim under the pool. He's the one who taught me how to spearfish, taught me how to dive. And
I thought you were going to say the deal was, if you behaved yourself, he'd let you breathe.
Anyways, I discovered the competitive sport in 2005.
It's a competitive sport?
There is a competitive sport, yes.
Of breath holding thing?
Yes. There's 6 competitive disciplines. Anyways, I qualified for the world championships, went for fun, placed in the top 8 in 3 disciplines, and thought, well, maybe I should check this out.
What are the disciplines in breath holding?
Static breath hold, which is just holding your breath for as long as you can, face down, without moving.
In water or just?
No, in water.
In water.
Your face has to be in the water.
Sounds, yeah.
Boring?
No. It sounds like you're just trying to bring yourself close to death for pleasure. It's got this sort of Michael Hutchins-esque feel about it as a sport.
Yeah, but not really. I mean, it's a natural reflex. We have the same reflex that other mammals have. Dolphins, whales, seals. Exactly the same physiological reflex. Maybe not as strong, but it's the same reflex. So it is possible, for example, I can hold my breath for over 8 minutes.
No.
Yes, without risking death or any of those dramatic things. The world record I did in September was 145 meters below the ocean surface.
Holding your breath?
Yes, on a single breath.
What goes through your mind? Do you have all these sort of dizzy, weird thoughts, or is it...
You might have self-doubt, negative thoughts coming and going while you're breathing up before you start the dive. But once in the dive, focus is entirely on the things that you have to do to successfully get to the bottom and then the things you need to do to get back to the surface. Getting to the bottom is about equalization. And from roughly 40 meters, there's no longer any air in your lungs. So your scuba diver is always dealing with full lungs to equalize. They can use their diaphragm to push the air up, to push back the membrane in the ear to compensate for the pressure. We don't have that luxury. So at a certain point, we pull the air out of the lungs and guard it in the mouth and throat and then use it from there to piston and equalize the ears for the remainder of the dive. So there's very technical things that we're doing.
How do you learn these things?
Trial and error. Talking to people that already know how to do them.
No one kind of holds your head underwater and...
No, there's none of that.
How does this work in terms of your work? Obviously, you've turned it into a profession, so you've been swimming with these, with sharks.
Yes, but the shark stuff we do voluntarily. It's, we volunteer to help scientists to do the tagging, et cetera. The advantage that we have on a breath hold is that we are, we're entering the sea as we are meant to. We're silent. We have a lot of mobility. The difference between us and, say, a scuba diver is a scuba diver cannot easily move up and down in the water column, and they cannot move laterally. They're also very noisy, so that tends to... For example, initially a tiger shark might be curious about a scuba diver, but... That passes fairly quickly. With a freediver, they can become quite curious and coming in and trying to swim with us. The same with the great whites.
It's 13 minutes to 7 o'clock. You're listening to William Winram. He is a Canadian-born breath-holding world record holder. We've just discussed how that came to be. And he's also a shark ambassador here because he's starring in a new film called Great White Shark 3D. I'm still fascinated about how you learn how to hold your breath that long. Could you hold your breath throughout this whole interview and still conduct it, or are you not allowed to speak?
Oh, you can't speak if you're
holding your breath.
But you have a limited amount of air to speak with.
See, I'm not breathing now, but I'm still speaking.
Yes, I could do the same, but at a certain point, one of us will black out.
That would make very dull radio.
Yes, very dull.
It is 12 minutes to 7 o'clock. Tell me about the movie.
The movie is fabulous. It's a really wonderful...
I didn't expect you to say anything other than that.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to say it's horrible. But no, honestly, it's a really well-done film. You get to really see the great white in all aspects of, you know, the animal, from the very, very intelligent, very powerful predator to a very beautiful creature. And I think it does a really good job of giving people the opportunity to let go of that old paradigm of this psychopathic man-eater and just see it for what it is, a beautiful apex predator. I've had a lot of people who have seen the film who will write me or in some of the screenings in Canada. I had one gentleman who said, listen, I don't like sharks. My wife is a shark nut. I'm here because of her, but geez, this film is amazing. These things are amazing. I actually think I love these things. So it's a...
It's there to promote respect, dude.
Yeah, respect for the sea and respect for the animal. And it is the closest that you will get to being face-to-face in the water with a great white shark without getting wet.
I'll be holding my breath for that one. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
William Winram, who stars in the new film The Great White Shark 3D, opens January 2.